Blog Talk Radio.
Stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now, scan number 3041. And I'm excited to introduce you to our guest here in just a minute. But first, we got to take care of some business. So we would love to have you call in and be a part of our guest panel. And if you have a question to ask our guest tonight, we would love to have you, like I said, a part of that. So the guest call-in number is 646-595-2118. And we would love to have you be a part of our panel. So give us a call, and then we will just let you in on the back line, and I'm going to bring you in if you have a question. So my name is Kim Lakin, and I am your host this evening, and I'm so excited to be here with you. And we at NASCA here have a single purpose, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse, trauma, and including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, no traumas, and neglect, and we do so with only two goals. One, by educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everybody, and two, by offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And if you would like some of that information that I was telling you about, we have a wonderful website that you can go to, and it's NASCA.org, and that's the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. So that's NASCA.org, and we have all kinds of information on the web that for anything that you're looking for. So, and you can go in and listen back to any of these shows that we have. We're on Monday through Friday. And again, tonight, our scan number is 3041. And our special guest tonight is Toni Lee, and she is from Canyon City, Colorado. So we're on the other side of Colorado from each other, but I'm in Colorado as well, and I'm excited to have her on. Maybe we can connect sometime. But she is a best-selling author who coaches at Healing Hearts. Toni's a life coach, a recovery group leader, and a minister for healing broken women. She serves those who have been betrayed, traumatized, or abused from sex addiction and are intimacy anorexic narcissists. Her heart is to help those who have been broken and lead them into healing, freedom, and joy again, giving them tools to learn and apply to their life. So no matter what the partner, the husband does, they are worthy of healing and becoming strong women. She explains that she's a warrior, a survivor, and thriver from all abuse. Her sexual abuse started at the age of 5 from a family member and began again at the age of 13. In her senior year of high school, she became pregnant. Her marriage was full of abuse from her husband, an alcoholic, mentally, emotionally, and physically abusive. Tony got a divorce 7 years due to his unfaithfulness. Her next relationship started off as an affair, and she became pregnant. He insisted that she have an abortion so that his reputation wasn't ruined. So she hid for 30 years from that. This husband, I guess that she had next, it wasn't real clear, was addicted as well, I think is what it says. And she later found out that he had 6 affairs during their time together. And then Tony had an affair also, looking for affection. His ongoing affair at the end of this marriage led to a divorce, but then they got remarried. 3 months later, his affair was still going on, and that led to the final divorce. Tony was in a 12-step recovery program for 4.5 years. She says that it saved her life and gave her the ability to carry on the message to others, and she also developed a video course from the 12 steps on the Traverse TV app, which I haven't heard of. So I'm excited just to have her come on and tell us more about her story. And Tony, I'm going to go ahead and bring you on now.
Well, hi, Kim. So nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you as well. We're so glad that you're here with us this evening. And thank you for being so bold to stand up and tell your story. That's awesome.
Absolutely. You know, when I wrote that, my very first book, those were the words that God gave me, and it was the fact that he said, it's not your story to keep, it's my story to share. In other words, it's his story to share. So.
Oh, I love that. So I can relate to a lot of things in your story. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of us that are on this show come from abuse as well. And so, you know, what we usually ask is that you kind of start at the youngest age that you want to start at. So if that was around 5, you know, when you remember that things started happening with the family member. If you want to, you know, whatever you want to highlight is fine. And just kind of go in chronological order. And then after maybe, you know, 20 minutes or so, then maybe we'll take a little bit of a break from listening to you and ask some questions. And we've got several people on the panel as well with us this evening. So if that is okay with you, I might just ask you if we can bring the panel in and see if they have any questions. So are there any questions you have before we get started?
No, not for now. I just wanted to say, Kim, that as you were reading my bio, I was just kind of like listening to it as another person, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, my heart just hurts for this person because, you know, and it's so many of us have that type of a story, so,
Thank you for that. I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, I don't want to get hardened just because I am on the show twice a week. You know, I want, I understand that this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. It was really hard. And it's hard to sit up and talk about it sometimes just because, and I can kind of relate to your story, not kind of, but I very much relate to your story that I believe that God was going to use me someday to talk specifically about this. And it took 50 years to get me to that point. But, of course, you know, the perfect timing. And so so I just love your heart, and I'm excited to hear more. So I'll go ahead and just turn it over to you. It's your show, but we can just talk like we're girlfriends on the phone. And
exactly. That's the best part. And, Kim, we just have to meet and get together, you know, because Canyon is only 2 hours south. So, yeah, I know the way there very well.
I'd love to. Yeah.
I am a woman that can remember things all the way back till I was 18 months old, and it just floors people. But my first sexual encounter, which I had no idea at that time what it was, but I was 5. I just knew that my mom's sister was touching me in a place that it was like, I didn't think someone was supposed to be touching that area, you know, from what mom and dad said. And I thought, you know, the only time, you know, that that place is even open is when you go into the restroom or something. And I had spent the night at my mom's father and mother's house. And, of course, I had to sleep with her. And, you know, she reached over and she just started touching me. And I thought it was kind of weird and stuff. And she goes, now I want you to do that to me. And so she wanted me to touch her. So, you know, not knowing, you know, I mean, you do. I'm not going to apologize about that. Was it wrong? Well, today it is, but then I had no idea. And stuff. Right. And so that occurred, I don't know, like several times, I'm going to say, when I would go and spend the night or she would come and, you know, stay with us. Sometimes she babysat us because she was only 6 years older than me. But
I was going to ask how much older she was. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were more like sisters instead of an aunt. And then my mom's brother, he's only 8 months older than I am. You know, we were always hanging out together and stuff, but which led to the fact, and I don't remember exactly how old I was. I can't remember if it was 13 or 14, but I know that I had just gotten into junior high. And once again, over at my mom's, my mother's mother and father's home. And, you know, we're in the bedroom, and then he says that, you know, that he wants to see everything, you know. So you would think that at this age you know better, but, you know, when you have been afflicted with that at such an early age, it's not so weird, but it is weird. Does that make any sense? But that's the only way I can explain
and
it.
Nobody has ever talked to you about it, you know, up until that point. If you've never been told that your body is your body, then how do you know that?
Right.
You do what you're told.
Yeah. My dad told me that, but my mom never did. And I soon found out why, you know. But so he took away my virginity. I remember, and I don't mean to be gross or anything, but I remember getting up off the bed and I'm thinking, what in the world is all of this blood from? You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? And, you know, of course, you can fight into like a girlfriend or something and then they tell you because there is no way, you know, that you're going to go say anything to mom or to dad or anyone else, you know. You just didn't do that. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. And it was just all of those things like that that led into so many issues. When I was a teenager, the more things that I could do to upset my mother, the better off I was. Of course, my mom was always an issue for me, too, because of the fact, and this is part of the abandonment, the rejection, you know, the emotional things from my mother, was that my mom, come to find out, had been molested by her father forever. He molested everyone. And I don't say this with anything but humbleness, but he molested everyone in the family but me.
Mm.
And so she got pregnant. My dad and her started dating each other, and she ended up getting pregnant with me before she finished high school. And of course, back then, you know, you had to quit high school. And so she did that and got married. And so she never got to fulfill her dream of becoming a nurse back then. And it just seemed like every time that I would do something and get into trouble, she would throw into my face, and these were her words, "You're just doing that to get back at me." And I'd say, "Get back at you for what?" "Well, because I got pregnant with you out of marriage." And I'm like, "Well, who cares?" You know, because I found out from not from them, but I found out from my grandmother because I was putting numbers together, and I'm like, well, if it takes 9 months to make, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, who cares? And I said, did you marry my dad? Are you and my dad still together? So what does it matter? It didn't matter to me, but it mattered to her. And that was because of all of the stuff, you know, that she had hidden in there and stuff, and which I didn't know about and, until my senior year of high school when a lot of things started coming out. But all of that sexual behavior. I'm sorry?
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask you, and maybe you're getting to that too, nobody really talked about it until a certain point, and then everybody started talking about it. Is that, and because I know, like, for instance, in my family, I know that it was, you know, as my stepdad, and he had molested several people in the family as well before me, but we never knew it was, you know, we never knew other people had been, you know, been a molester or anything. So I guess I was just curious how you all found out. And are you
I'll tell you. It came out because my niece, I think she was like third or fourth grade. Whatever it is, you know, when you kind of get that sexual, you know, information at school, you know, they just kind of tell you and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But they were also talking about the fact of, you know, nobody should be touching you, that type of stuff like that. And she happened to mention to her little friend, well, she said, my grandpa does that to me all the time. Well, the little girl went home and told her mom, and her mom called social services. And that is how it finally all came out. And so when that, he had to go to court, he had to go to, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, you know, poor. We were all, you know, at that time, not knowing everything, but just being more supportive of him stuff. And so he had to go through all kinds of probation and therapy and all that type of stuff like that. It never ended there. But when I was in high school, you know, oh my gosh, just to have the attention, somebody would take me out and we'd start kissing and start making out and stuff. And it's like, you know, I had nothing to lose, right? Because I'd already lost it. So you know, you have sex with them. And when I met my children's father, same thing, you know, he was well, you would call him now today a sex addict because of the fact that he just constantly thought that that's all that there was, you know, to do. And I ended up getting pregnant senior year in high school. And then we got married. And I had no idea about how abusive he was. But every time he would be drunk, it was the worst. It wasn't as bad as some of these poor women, oh my gosh, but I would get hit. His emotional and mental abuse was a lot worse. I will still say that I think I would rather take the physical abuse than the emotional abuse because my ex-husband did the exact same thing with the gaslighting and all of that. And to me, it would be so, and I'm just speaking for me since I don't know both sides, but it just seems that it would be so much easier to heal from that physical stuff. Of course, that does affect you emotionally and mentally, you know,
it should be talked about more for sure.
Absolutely.
And it should be recognized.
Everything
more.
Should.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything that is not right should be. And, you know, when my mom was growing up, you know, back in the, 50s, you didn't talk about it, especially if it was a family member, you know. And then if you did tell somebody, well, they'd say, well, you know, what? They just didn't make a big deal of it anyway because you stood by your family and Well, right. There's such a thing as standing by your family and also being smart about it and, you know, hoping that they get help. I mean, we can't make them have help, but they sure can choose, or we can, you know, put the walls up and back away or whatever. But
right. And then, unfortunately, it's in, well, like your mom, I think that my mom was just very just enabling, because she, of course, was abused. And, you know, and I found out that it was a thing, not by the same person, but, you know, she was willing to forgive her husband for what he did to me, you know, and put me in my place because I'm just a child or whatever it was, instead of doing the right thing. I mean, you just don't talk about our business. This is our family, and, you know, we'll just deal with it as a family and, you know, things like that. So, I understand. It just really stinks, you know, because I think everybody wants mom to protect them, especially if nobody else. We want our mom to.
Sure. My mom was definitely not my protector. Not at all. She never would be. My dad, yes. But then on the sad side, when my dad did find out about it, it was kind of like he just pushed it aside, and he really didn't do too much until things escalated again after my step-grandmother passed away. And then there was a bunch of things that came out again about what my mom's father had been doing. And my mom, I think she just literally had a nervous breakdown over everything. You know, she had tried to mend and heal from all of that, but then there were some other things that came up. And so, once again, you know, she's questioning everyone in the family, were you ever touched? Were you ever touched? Well, this is when I found out that he touched my daughter. That infuriated me. Yes, it bothered me that my sisters and my cousins and my, you know, brother had been touched. But when you touched my daughter, a little four-year-old girl, that was not okay. And, you know, I can forgive, but this one took a while to forgive, you know. But then some things happened, and my mom, you know, just could not even stand to be around him. Well, I was the one that had to go and confront him, and, you know, and he denied it. He denied it. And I said, how can you sit there and say that you didn't when everyone is saying that you did? I said, that's pretty odd that everyone is against one, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. I said, yes, you did, because I believed them, because I said, I see the horror in their face. So then he proceeded to tell me that he had been affected as a child, which I figured that had to been why. But it was from his father-in-law, because he had worked for his father-in-law up there in Greeley in the potato and the sugar beet farms. That is how he met my mom's mother. And but it was his future father-in-law that had molested him. So plus his stepfather. So he had gotten a lot, you know. And when things don't get taken care of, oh my gosh, like you said earlier, the generational curse, it does. It just keeps going on and on and on until someone stands up and says no and breaks the chains and, you know, takes a different path and, you know, pray that, you know, everyone else sees the light and tries to do the same too. Otherwise, it's just going to continue to go. But that was part of what led my life, you know, into going a direction that was not good. Not good at all.
Kind of rebellious, I'm sure, or something. A little bit. Hey, you know, I was just to see, we have, my co-host is on with us, Victoria. And we have another gal on named Lori. And I was wondering if you would mind if they have, if we could see if they have a question. Would you mind if we bring them on?
Not at all. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, Victoria, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I finally made it up.
Hi.
Yeah,
I'm glad you made it.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Is it Tony?
Tony Lee.
Tony. Okay,
Tony.
I didn't hear you yet.
I'm so
beginning.
Sorry. I should have asked. I should have corrected you.
Quite all right.
I wasn't sure how you pronounce it. But yeah, I can relate as a survivor and as a abused very young as well. The day I came home from the hospital after my birth. It was just interesting how you said, because my biological father, who I called my sperm donor, because the only good thing he ever did, for my life, he had also been sexually abused by his babysitter. And he went on to abuse women, men, and children his whole life. And
yep.
when it came to court, they flew my mother in because he said he wasn't my biological father. And she told the prosecuting attorney a whole bunch of stuff. And she told me, she said, he's been doing this all his life to men, women, and children. She said. The only difference between you and them is you told the rest are on the run from him, but yeah, like with my other abusers, my kids' fathers, I didn't do anything until something happened to my kids, I don't know. It's something about that motherly instinct. For me, it was, I guess I should say not all mothers are that way, but I'm going to protect my child because nobody protected me. And
exactly.
That didn't happen with my mom actually my mother sent us away on my first birthday to Minnesota, me and my two brothers, but she too got married early. And I think it was because I don't know when she got married to him, but she had three kids by the time she was 20 in 3.5 years. It's a whole generational thing, and I don't think I know that my mom was abused, and I know that nobody stood up for her, she just learned, she sent us to Minnesota with my grandparents, but that was her way of, she said, I just had this feeling you were in danger, and we were, but she was like, I didn't know why, but I just felt like you were in danger when I asked her as an adult. But she hadn't witnessed it happening. I tell you, and I've had the physical and emotional too. And like, if you get hit in the face, you got a black eye. If you get a broken bone, you can get an x-ray and see you got a broken bone. But like you said, that emotional abuse is, and in NASCA, we don't compare stories. All child abuse is bad.
Absolutely.
And none of it should ever happen. But like I always say, I like to look at our commonalities rather than differences. And one of the commonalities we have is our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really sorry that it went through all that. But it's a lot. It is a lot.
Well,
I'm glad to have you.
My heart hurts for you and going through all of that. Yeah. No one should ever have to endure that stuff.
No. And people say, how do you remember all that? And I said, my body remembers. And I was in a psych ward, many times. And my body remembered all of it. Yeah. I developed MPD out of it, so.
Oh, God.
But I got treatment,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that anymore. Well, but I'm more, I want to hear your story more. So I'll just go on mute.
Well, I'm just going to say that And that is something that, you know, all of this trauma and stuff causes so much stress in our body, and it either completely affects our mind, you know, those endorphins affect our body. And I have had so many health issues. So,
Yeah, I've had both. And, you know, actually developing an MPD was, you know, I appreciate that I had ulcers because they, you know, if I hadn't, I don't know if I'd still be here, you know, because they took on, you know, they kept coming and coming and coming because they kept continuing more and more abuse from different abusers, different situations.
Right.
And they took on that, you know, and, you know, developed or whatever. And like I said, I probably wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for the altered being so. But your mind is pretty amazing, I think, you know.
Whether
it's concealing the abuse until you're ready to deal with it or whatever. I think our minds are pretty amazing and wonderful, but our bodies do cry out.
Yes, they do. And I love the way that God made the mind, and I just use this reference because when he takes you through a healing, it's like an onion. Because he couldn't give it all to us at once because it just would explode. So just layer by layer, you know, we pull it back and we start healing and,
And I had to compartmentalize. That's not how you say the word, but I know what people know what I mean. You know, putting different departments in my head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as my healing came, the more that, you know, came out, the more that was revealed, the more I was healing. And, you know, I was finally healed when all the altars come out and actually tell the story and have somebody listen to them and care.
Because
nobody ever did before that. Nobody cared. You're too sensitive. You're too everything we don't like.
Well, and there were some areas in my life I had to have the EMDR. You know, I didn't want to do hypnosis or anything, but EMDR brought out a lot more depth, you know, and some things too. So, and that was more towards all of the issues with my mother, but that helped a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah. When I started with my psychologist who dealt with MPD, I went to probably 3 or 4 sessions and kept telling her, just babbling off all this horrible stuff, and kept right after everything go, well, it could have been worse and blah, 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 could have been worse, blah, blah, blah. You know, one time she stops me and says, I just have to ask you a question. And it was, like, very irritating to me that she interrupted me. You know, and she said, I have to ask you a question. She said, did anybody ever tell you I could have been better? You could have been adopted by people that wanted you, loved you, and nurtured you and wanted the best for you. And I cried for 6 months. I swear to God, didn't stop. Because nobody ever said that to me. You know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Compassion.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Victoria. We have someone else on the call, too. I was going to see if maybe they have something to say. But thank you for sharing. So we're going to bring on Lori now.
Okay, how are you?
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I got to say right off the bat, I'm really sorry for what happened to you. You know, that was a horror story. I came from, you know, abuse from zero birth all the way through 16 every single day. I was actually given to my father by my mother. And in the house, it was always like keep the secret and there was nobody around. So what I liked and what I think helped pull you through is you had a dialogue going with a lot of people. Even though they, you know, tried to keep it a secret, of course you're not going to stop asking. The dialogue kept going, and that's the only way to actually heal. I mean, you can't keep it all inside all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people, you know, what happened to you, people react in different ways. Whatever was available at the time, it was just there, you know, so you went whatever way. But none of it was your fault, of course. You know,
no.
Even the way that you ended up going, you know, it still wasn't the real you. It was just the abuse covering up the real you, and this is your reaction. So, you know, that part of the the guilt that everybody carries because they always think it's their fault. That shouldn't even be there. I mean, I'm listening to your voice, and you sound very kind of energetic and very positive. You don't hold back. So the healing, I'm sure, has gone faster for you, which is wonderful. You know, so I just want to say I'm going to cut it short because I want to hear the rest of your story.
Well, I'm going to say I completely agree with you because I have always been one, as long as I can remember, my cup is half full and ready to run over. It has never been half empty. No, I take that back because there was probably a very, very short time that it was, like, empty, but that was during my depression time. Yeah, but
well,
thank you.
You were entitled. You were entitled.
We all have our moments, don't we? Yes. We just don't want to stay there.
Yeah, that's
the problem if we choose to stay there.
Well, is it good that you had the choice and you took it to start the healing?
That's right.
I didn't have the same choice because I have a handicapped child, a severely handicapped child, and he was always my main thing. So, you know, I had to go through things a different way, more quiet, and it wasn't as productive. So you were lucky that you're able to keep going straight and get yourself all done. And you did it. You did it.
Yes, ma'am. And my heart goes to you, you know, with taking care of a child for a lifetime.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, he's 39 now. I haven't had a vacation in 39 years. I haven't had a vacation. I'm tired. I'm tired.
I can't imagine. Well, I hope that someone will come in and give you a relief if it's nothing more than just an hour. You need that for you.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, as you were saying about how it affected your body, it did. I mean, it affected my body.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a very severe case of fibromyalgia. I'm in body braces. I can't sit up. I can't stand. I can't do any of that. So my body.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they tell me I'm like 90 years old, my body. So hearing you, I hear you in motion, and it's refreshing, very refreshing.
Well, and I also have fibromyalgia. The chronic fatigue was absolutely horrible, and I, you know, did some medicines and stuff. But I tell you what, this 4.5 years of recovery has made a huge difference in my body.
Yeah,
and knowing that I have to take time, I don't care if it's 5 minutes a day, I have to take time for Tawny Lee. Because she is so important. It doesn't matter what is going on around me, but Tawny Lee is so valuable that she needs at least those 5 minutes to recognize who she is and what she has done, what she can accomplish, who she is. So, yeah, I have to do that every day.
Very excellent. Yeah. I turned to my artwork and just went with that. But, yeah.
Oh, that is beautiful. Thank you, Lori. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, you are.
Yes, Lori, thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do have fibromyalgia. I think it is a common thing that all of those things that find stuff.
And fibromyalgia is brought on because of trauma to the body.
Mm. Yeah.
I learned that from my osteopathic doctor.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it
doesn't matter what trauma,
because some people get it from wrecks or, you know, falls or whatever, but it is also the emotional trauma and stuff will bring it on. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you've got to deal with that as well. But, when I was reading your bio, you talked about intimacy, anorexic, narcissist. And would you mind explaining that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, you know, in Colorado Springs, there is a center, and I will endorse this gentleman and his gift forever. Dr. Douglas White, he has Heart to Heart Counseling Center. This man was abused. He was also a sex addict. He is a recovered sex addict. And he started this like 30 some years ago, and he has coined the phrase the intimacy anorexic. He is the president of, I probably will not get this right, but something with the mental health, something or other. He is amazing, amazing. And that center does for couples. They do intensives for couples. Then they also do for the spouse, the partner, the male, the female, you know, whichever, because women can also be sex addicts. So, and I found him after I had married the ex-husband and found out that that affair was still going on. In fact, he had contacted her just moments before we got married, which made me want to just vomit.
Oh, my God.
And so he said, well, you know, when everything happens, stuff, he goes, well, I think I'm sick. I need some help. He said, will you help me get some help? And I said, yeah, if you want the help, I'll help you. You know, and this is after going through all kinds of stuff. And so I called a pastor, and he said, well, I'm not able to do that. He said, but I do know of a center, a therapy place up in Colorado Springs. And so I called, and they have recovery groups that meet almost like every evening, some of them during the day, you know, plus they have the therapist and all of that there. Well, so he started going, and then I thought, well, I wonder, you know, what they have. And so I called back and to find out that they had it for the partners. And I'm like, okay, good. What day can I, you know, get there? I said, because I've been dealing this. Gosh, that was probably like with 4 years of that junk. And so I went up there and started into the recovery. Met the most amazing people. Found my therapist. She also became my sponsor, and then I became a co-leader with her until I brought my own group down here into Canyon City, into my own home, which I've been doing that for about 2 years. But it's the 12 steps. It is the 12 steps that, you know, Bill had written, and it works for almost everything addiction. And it was the most amazing. My very first 12-step book that I went through was the partner book, and it makes you dig so deep. I mean, there was so many things that, you know, started finally making sense about, okay, so why did I choose two men that were sex addicts? And, you know, why, well, it all came from the very bottom of, you know, being molested and part of not having a very good relationship, feeling loved, feeling cared for, you know, or anything, that emotional attachment to my mother, who you're supposed to be, right? Because she's the one that carried you. And so it led to so much. They're not excuses, they're reasons. The reasons why, because there is no such thing as an excuse, that I don't believe. But there are reasons, and there's also reasons why men become sex addicts. The majority of men that become sex addicts, of course, have been molested in some way. Then there is also because of the fact there was no father or a father relationship, or there was not a nurturing relationship with mother that will, you know, tends to put them into that addiction, either, you know, with having the sex, masturbation, porn, you know, that type of stuff like that, prostitutes. The intimacy anorexic, which was the second set of books that I did, is called Married and Alone, because if you're married and your spouse is intimacy anorexic, you are alone. They have a wall built up. They're not going to let you inside that wall whatsoever. They're not going to break it down either, because they are going to protect themselves, because they have been so hurt. They don't want you to know anything about them. They're not going to be open with you. They're not going to be honest with you. They're going to gaslight you. If you start calling them on something, they're going to start blaming you. because you were the one that said this, that made them mad, and, well, why do you think that I'm doing that? Why do you say that? You know, and that's that gaslighting thing. And, of course, the narcissist, we all know what that is, right? That it is nothing but them, themselves. They care of nothing else. And so a lot of times a sex addict will be the intimacy anorexic, and a lot of times with the intimacy anorexic, they are full-fledged narcissists too. And, of course, Dr. Weiss, you know, he tells all of these things about what you have to be. I think it's like six different characteristics make you a full-fledged narcissist, and those ones, there's just kind of like, you know, it would only be a miracle for them to change, but
yeah, so. That's pretty much, I feel like that's my ex-husband. I mean, and we're just separated right now. We're not even divorced yet, but yeah. And the intimacy thing, see, that was always one of my biggest things, because it was like the only time that he would hold me, or, you know, the only time that I really felt any love from him is when we had sex. And but then he would withhold it from me, and he would make it my problem. If I wanted it, then I had to say something. And, you know, it's just always been this battle. And I'm like, you don't ever open up. We don't have any intimacy at all. What do you mean? You know, and it just goes off. Yeah. It just goes off. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I had never heard that term before. So
that's Dr. Weiss, and and a lot of people use it now. But yeah, he was the one that came up with that. So, well,
now,
Dr. Douglas Weiss, Weiss. He's on YouTube, and he has his own show on Daystar now, and he has been on Dr. Oz. He's been on Oprah. He's been on, you know, NBC, CBS, and just everywhere. Yeah. He's amazing.
I listen to Dr. Romney quite a bit. I love Dr. Romney. She's awesome. So, yeah, thank you for that, for explaining that to us.
And, you know, you're talking about the fact of he wouldn't have sex or whatever, and then you'd have to beg for it. And it's that control, it's that game of control, you know, because they're in what they think is their good little box. And anytime that you come up against them with anything, then, you know, you're pushing them over there towards that bad box, which is completely opposite of what we think, right? But and they don't like that because they're losing control, and weird
it's
behavior.
A struggle. It is, and you know, I've been with him now for 35 years, and I just can't. You know, there were points in my life where I said, I can just be, because we haven't even been in the same bedroom for 5 years before I left, you know? And so I'm like, okay, maybe I can just be okay being in this bedroom next to him. And, you know, we can just go about life because I'm getting older anyway. And then I'm like, why? I've never, ever had that, you know, that affection and that anybody. And, and I'm like you know, my mom wasn't there emotionally for me at all. As a matter of fact, she just basically continued to enable the abuse, because it was easier for her, I guess. I don't know. She hadn't made that decision. But so it makes perfect sense to me. I've done a lot of that research too. But it's fascinating.
Yeah. You know, the only real attention, the love that I got, you know, my dad is a very hugging person. And so that is where I got my emotional, you know, connection was from my dad, because he was the one that was always around. My mom ended up going to work and all of that. But he's just a different type of person. He's, you know, more caring and stuff. But even with the first husband, it wasn't there. I mean, this man didn't even remember my birthday or our anniversary or nothing like that. I mean, he was, you know, so way out there. And then with the last ex-husband, we would at least hold hands and stuff. But there was never, you know, if I was crying or something, there was never any attention there. I mean, there was no emotional connection, really. The only time I remember any type of real good emotional connection is when I found out that I had the brain tumor. And I think it was because he was so scared of what was going to happen, you know. And I knew that he loved me as much as he could,
right.
You know. But he was very, very caring at that time. So,
yeah.
But they don't know how. He did not have a dad growing up. His dad had come home from the World War II. And so he had syphilis and a mental breakdown. And so he left, you know, not very long after that. So he had grown up without a dad, and grandma was there in the house and with mom, but, they were, very stern people, not very loving. So,
yeah.
You know, a cold atmosphere, right? And sadly,
yeah.
A lot of times you just continue to reflect what you were given. And so,
right. Yeah. Right. No, I mean, in those 35 years, I don't think I've ever had a conversation with his dad or really his mom. But I, you know, can chit-chat a little bit more with his mom. But his dad will come over for a family dinner and go for a walk and be gone the whole time. Just doesn't even stay in the house with the family, you know, and I'm just, and at this point in our life, you know, I'm like, I have 6 grandchildren. You would think that they would, since they are still alive, that they would want to get to know those great grandchildren before they're gone, you know, because they are getting up there. I think he's 86, but he still has no interest. He's just never had any interest. And it just, that baffles me. It just baffles. Like, how can you not care at all?
And because he's the same way. My ex-husband, when we had gotten together, you know, and then that, my 2 children were, you know, real small. And so he connected kind of with my daughter and, you know, was sort of close with her. Never really good with my son. But even with the grandkids, no. The oldest one, I take it back. The oldest one, that my daughter was 15 and a half when she had her. And we ended up, you know, she stayed here in the house until she graduated from high school. And then she got married. And we ended up having to take custody of the little girl. But from the day that she was born, you know, my husband was, ex-husband was very affectionate to her, and they were very, very close, you know, at that time too. So that was the only time I ever saw him that way with any of the grandchildren. But they just don't have that connection whatsoever, and they have the cold heart, but they are so sad on the inside. So sad.
Yeah.
Because of all of the damage that they're carrying around. Yes. And I see him today, and he says that he has been in recovery. And I tell you what, for a man that says he's been in recovery and he's doing well, he looks so old. He was 16 years older than me, but he looks so old and so beat up, and there is no joy in that person's life. So.
Yeah. So now this is your first husband with your child?
My children belong to my first husband that I married right out of high school. Uh-huh. And then we were in Kansas City when he had an affair with my best friend, and I ended up choosing and coming back here to Canyon City. And that is when I met the second husband, and he was still married, and we started off as an affair, which I knew so bad, you know, not to do. But he divorced her, and then we, you know, were seeing each other, and it was before we had even I think we were both just getting divorced. I ended up getting pregnant, and he told me that the only thing that I could do was to have an abortion, and that was because of the fact that he was such a high-influenced businessman here in town, you know, that couldn't ruin his reputation, and he didn't want another child, and so, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That had to be really hard.
Yes, ma'am, it was. And I remember waking up afterwards, and I was screaming, and I was crying so hard. I don't think I've ever cried that hard. Still, after everything, I don't think, because I knew what I did. I knew what had happened, and I, you know, it still tears me up. I am so, you know, healing from it. Not healed, but healing, you know, after keeping it inside for 30 years, and that didn't come out until the recovery. But yeah, I knew exactly what I had done. And, you know, being a Christian, you know exactly. I mean, and being a mother, I already had two children, you know?
Yeah.
So, but going through this recovery is what brought that all out.
It was. Okay. So now, when did you come to know the Lord? Were you a child, or was it after you had already grown up?
I have known Jesus as long as I've been alive. I mean, I really turned my life around when I was around 14, when, you know, everything had happened and stuff. I really gave my heart to the Lord then as a teenager. And then, you know, I went away because of circumstances with the ex-husband and the things that we did sexually and other things, you know. God didn't want a part of my life because it was pretty ugly. And so I, you know, pushed that away. And when I found out in 2007 about the brain tumor, well, it was even before that, though. But, I mean, that took me into such a deep relationship with my Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, do you feel that has helped with your recovery, just having God there the whole time to guide you, and just knowing that he's there, even though you've gone through some pretty horrific things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would not have survived without him. The day, though, that I was going to take my life, I was just seconds from committing suicide, and my mother walked in the door. So, of all people, right? but it was dark. It was after the second marriage and the separation, and I had just had back surgery to remove a cyst off my spine. And I mean, it's, you know, here you are in a house all by yourself, and then you're limited as to, you know, my heart really goes to Lori, you're really limited as what you can do. And I was so frustrated, and I sat one day and I said, God, where are you? Where are you? I don't see you. I don't feel you. You're not here with me. You don't care about me anymore. You left me just like everyone else. You promised you would never leave me, but you left me. Where are you? I can't find you anywhere. And I cried, I don't know how many hours straight. And I said, I'm done. I am done. And I called the ex-husband, and I said, all I care about is that you take care of our granddaughter. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, I'm done. And he had been texting my mother, I guess, at that time, and she was just down at the church, which is only just like two blocks away. And so she was here within seconds, and she walked in the back door and stuff. But I cried for another 2 hours, and I had no idea that my dad was here. But I looked up, and there he was sitting at the corner of my bed. And I said, Daddy, you're here. And he goes, honey, I've been here the whole time. And I said, no, you haven't. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yes, I have been. And it broke. I realized that my dad was here. He had never left. And I hear my father say, see, I told you I never left you.
Oh.
And I'm here for a reason.
Yeah.
And it is just to encourage others that God never, ever, ever leaves. We can step back, but he never, ever moves away from us.
Amen. So were your parents believers as well, even though it didn't, or your mom? Okay.
Yeah. My mom, yeah, she was like 7 years old, I think, when they moved down here from Greeley to Canyon City, and she started going to church with her grandma. And in fact, she still goes to the exact same church. It's just a different building, but it's the same church. And my dad was raised in a Christian home as well. So yeah, my parents, believers. My dad's side of the family, both sides, my grandpa and my grandma, you know, come from pastors and ministers and a long, long heritage there. Yep, on my dad's side.
I'm sorry, that was kind of rude, Tanya. I didn't.
No, but, you know, it's very true because on my mom's side, there's just like, even on her mother's side, there is so much. And I tell you what, things will come to my mind, and I will just break the curses. I will take the chains and give them to God and say, you break them. Get them off of me. Get them out of my family. Get them away from my family because they have no room here in my life whatsoever any longer, none. And that's what we have to do, you know, because God gave us all authority from heaven here on earth. All we have to do is just ask him. And in the mighty name of Jesus, break those curses.
Amen.
Yeah,
I was sent to church, but it wasn't really in my family. I guess it was.
Oh.
My mom was raised by her grandma, who was a pretty strict Baptist. And so my mom was raised in the Baptist church, but by the time she met, and she had me very young, she had me at 16 as well, and she was divorced and had me and my brother by 20, and then she met my stepdad, who is pretty much who raised me. That's the only dad that I knew for the most part, and kind of, you know, like Victoria, my first dad was my sperm donor, and I remember at one point when I realized, you know, that, and then he had passed away when I was 12 in a car accident. And so I was like, God, why are, and so this is why I think that my mom knew that I needed that foundation, even though she wasn't following God at the time. But, you know, I used to say, why did you give me two bad dads? You know, I just couldn't understand. I'm like, this can't be right. God doesn't do this, does he? You know, and as a child, especially a child that was sent to church, my grandmother, because I have two aunts also that are more like sisters, and one of them is just 2 years older than I am, and she's the one that I went to church with. Her mom, my grandma, she was a waitress, and so she had these elders that would come in and try and get her to go to church, and then one time they mentioned that they have a church school bus that they use to pick up children and to bring them into Sunday school. And so my grandma set that up with my aunt and with me. And so we would, you know, I think leave on Sunday mornings and be gone all morning. And, you know, I think they all just wanted to sleep, but so it worked out good for them. But I say it was the best thing that could have happened to me too. You know, I do believe that that's how I was able to understand, you know, maybe that these people were abused as well, and I can have a little bit of empathy in that that way. Not that I'm ever going to, especially
right.
with my stepdad. And there are consequences that, you know, are very evident today because my brother and my mom have both passed away. And I forgave my dad. He showed up at church about 5 years after my mom died. And I walked through him becoming a new Christian, and I walked through his baptism with him. And so
wow.
I've forgiven him. But there are still boundaries.
Right.
And, you
Absolutely.
Know, he also for 20 years, he's tried to move in with me. I'm like, that is not happening. You made that choice a long time ago. You made it when I was 12 years old. So I will make sure that you're taken care of, but I'm sorry, you're not going to live with me. That's not going to happen ever. And so,
good for you.
You know, it's hard to sometimes look back and go, yeah, and I think as Christians as well, you know, we want to be forgiving, and I still struggle with that. I still struggle sometimes with feelings that come up. And yeah.
Sure, go those ahead. Triggers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Kim, too, that I think that there is, to me personally, there's a lot of wrong concept about the forgiveness thing. God didn't say to forgive and then I'll help you forget. Doesn't happen. He says forgive, right? He didn't say he was going to make us forget things. I
right.
believe that we remember things, and you know, and after time we can remember them as in a healthier way because they're a protection for us.
Right.
You know, you just like with your dad. Well, of course you're not going to allow him into your home. Oh man, because what if something happens and his old behaviors came back? Well, then all you did was just let the enemy in and to destroy your family, right? You know, your children or whatever. And so we don't ever forget for certain reasons, but forgive, and it has nothing to do. To me, it has nothing to do with that other person. It has everything to do with me.
Yes.
If God can forgive me, why can't I forgive those? Because he took every sin that I ever commit and he took it to the cross because he loves me. There's no way I'm going to hold back anyone's forgiveness. Is it hard? Absolutely it is, but I can choose to forgive. That doesn't mean that I have to forgive them that very day. But I can choose to start forgiving them. And I have had to forgive an awful lot of people. And when I do that, it gives me freedom. And it releases
yeah.
them into God's hand.
Yeah. Amen.
So, and he's the one that's the justice, not me.
Yeah. yeah, amen. And he wants to be there for us. So, you know, I've had to realize
Absolutely.
Throughout the years, and I was just talking to somebody else recently about, you know, God having to be our Father, and that's the only, oh, yeah, it was one of my Facebook friends' daughters had talked about kind of the same thing. She was, you know, abandoned by her first dad, and then her second dad ended up abandoning her, and he, you know, I just said, sweet girl, I've had to figure, you know, I figured out a long time ago that God can be everything to us. He is.
Yes,
he's our dad. He's our, you know, our brother. He's our husband. You know, he can be whatever we
exactly.
want.
Exactly.
And so.
He is my
you know,
husband.
It's a hard lesson. It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. I had to get to that point. So we are down to, like, the last 20 minutes, Tony. So
okay.
I want to hear what you want to say in those last 20 minutes. What else of the story have we not heard that you want to share with us? And just thank you so much for being so open about everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very transparent because of the fact that There just might be something there that will help or encourage someone else, and so it's worth it. I am now at a point where I can say that I am thankful for every scar that I have, mentally, physically, emotionally, because God has gotten me through that. And when you stand there and you open your arms and you say, Lord, here am I, send me, and you're the willing vessel, he's going to use everything. So I think one of the greatest healings that I have received in my life is with my little girl. And the fact that when I was in my war room, God just gave me this vision of him and her running around in heaven. And it is the greenest, greenest grass. I mean, you can't describe it, right? And they're chasing butterflies. And it's just so beautiful. I can close my eyes right now and see the whole thing again. And I can't see her face, but I see her in this most beautiful little white dress and just these curly, curly, like reddish blonde hair. And she's just so happy and she's so loved and she's running with the Father and she's just enjoying. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, she's with you, and it's all good. She's been there from the very beginning, and I can't wait to go home and to meet her. And I would pray, Lord Jesus, when you come to get me, make sure she's in your hands, because I want to see you both. And so that caused a deep healing in my soul. And I had a former pastor's wife asked me one time, did you name her? And I said, no, I never even thought about that. Because I had an ultrasound and I just knew it was a girl. My ultrasound was in my old jewelry box in the attic forever and ever and ever. And so I named her. I knew exactly what I was going to name her because I always wanted a little girl named Melissa, Melissa Lee. And so Melissa means honeybee. And I tell you what, I see butterflies everywhere, and I see honeybees everywhere. And, I mean, God just gives you those little kisses, you know. If you will just pay attention to special little things, it's God is saying, hey, I'm here. I'm sending you love today. I want to send you some joy today. And so we just have to pay attention to those type of things, you know. So that's just, and I was so blessed. Yeah, that means new beginning. And I was so glad when Roe v. Wade was overturned. Oh, my gosh. I just said, Melissa, the prayers are answered. The prayers are answered. And, you know, I said, there are so many babies now that are going to be saved. So, yeah, that was an amazing, amazing thing. And I don't think we're even finished on that part of it, but yeah.
So you talk about, we're down to like 60 minutes, but you talk about what you're doing today. Tell us a little bit more about how you're helping others today and how you're doing.
Well, from going through that recovery, you know, with Dr. Weiss, I started the group here in my home, and I started out with six girls, and I am down to one, because it's work that, you know, just like with an alcoholic or anything like that, you have to choose to do the work, and, you know, if it gets tough, you just keep going or you give up, right? And so I have one girl, and, you know, it's just an area where God has called me. I've always been into women's ministry some, you know, but this was a big, big calling. And going to a conference, Sticker Shock Speaking Academy, I'll get that all spelled out, with my publisher, caused the Healing Hearts coaching to come, the Healing Broken Women, you know, ministry type name. And that's what it is, because in some way we've all had our heart broken, betrayal by trauma, by sexual issues, by, you know, abandonment, by rejection, we've all had our hearts broken, you know, but we are so worth doing the work to get those hearts mended. There's no reason that we can't. And I had someone, a sponsor or the girls out of the group that I attended, walk with me through everything. If we'd run into an issue, we knew exactly who we could call. And, you know, we stayed in touch with each other every day, and that's the accountability. And that's what I want to do with other women. If it's just one-on-one, if it's through a webinar on, you know, a conference, if it's on Facebook group, whatever it is, I want women to know that if you want me to, I will walk this with you, because no one should walk it alone. No one. And, you know, my favorite words to the women are, you are a princess and you are priceless. Every person has value. Even the most horriblest person still has value if you look at them through the Father's eyes. And that's what I want to have, is my Father's eyes and my Father's heart. In fact, I'm having a conference December 9th and 10th in Colorado Springs. So I have eight speakers coming already. So, yeah.
Wow.
So that's going to be amazing. And it's a healing conference, because you heal in so many ways. Yeah. So I am on social media everywhere as Tani Lea, T-O-N-N-I-L-E-A. The reason that I go by Tani Lea is, God said, that's the name I gave you. No matter what your last name is, I named you Tani Lea. So that is who I am. I am Tani Lea. I also have published 4 books. I am writing my 5th book now. I do webinars. I do conferences, motivational speaking, inspirational speaking. I am out there for women. I love going and meeting new people, not a stranger, nowhere. I love just going out and meeting, because everybody has a story, and I just love to encourage people. Yeah.
Hey, Victoria, we've only got a few minutes left. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say to Tani?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for your inspirational story. And I like when you said that, you know, I don't think anybody should do it alone either. You know,
mm-hmm.
I do a lot of outreach work too as well. And that's my biggest thing, is I was alone for so long. And the only way that I really healed was meeting other survivors and realizing that, yeah, it's a struggle, but it's worth it. You can make it, you know.
Yeah.
And people ask me, oh, are you healed? And I said, I'll be healing till my last breath.
That's exactly what I say. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and there's so many ways to heal, you know. And, you know, I just ask, I'm not a religious person, but a spiritual person. And I just, you know, ask that I be given, you know, the love and comfort and care of my higher power, in that, you know, I can send love out. And, you know, I don't know if that's forgiveness or whatever it is, but, you know, I send love out to anybody who needs the love and support, you know, and be that here on earth or, you know, wherever the next place is. There's, you know, my biological father is gone, but, you know, I know that he was hurt. And, you know, we all need love. And I just think what you're doing is fantastic. And, I'd like to talk to you someday. We got a lot coming, and I just think what you're doing is fantastic. Yeah. So thank you very much for coming on the show, and thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you, Victoria. Thank you for what you are doing. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned 12 steps. Now, did you go Are you in like AA recovery or NA or any of that sorts of things, or?
It's the sexual addiction recovery for the partner.
Oh, I gotcha.
That Dr. Weiss took the 12 steps and applied to.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. He has a 12-step book that you do, but you start off with exercises, and that just brings everything out and up to the top. So you go through those, and then you do a step. So we correlated the workbook and the step book together. So, yeah, I did all three
that's
steps
interesting.
With this book. Yeah, you'll have to look him up online.
Yeah. Well, thank
They're
you.
They're pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm in recovery from alcohol, drugs, and in Al-Anon as well. So.
Oh.
I'm familiar with 12 steps.
12
and you know, NASCA is based on the 12 traditions.
Right.
That's where we come from on that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank you
thank
again.
You for all
and
that you're doing.
I hope if you got anything else to say, you'll get it fit in. So I'll be quiet and listen. Thank you very much.
And you know what else I just heard today from my counselor? That the Celebrate Recovery, too, is a really good place.
Yeah.
And they have, they do kind of that, too. But I'd always thought Celebrate Recovery was for addiction, and I guess it's not. I guess it kind of is more for people who have struggled in life. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be addiction. So that's another really good one. Go ahead.
I was going to say, they use the 12 steps, too. Yeah,
so I was going to look at that because I've never done that. And divorce care, which was the other one that she was telling me about. I probably about 6 years ago, I think I've been doing this, and I feel like God definitely brought this into my life, was I am a facilitator and an instructor for Darkness to Light, Stewards of Children. Mm. Are you familiar with them?
No.
Yeah, I'll have to tell you more about it. But it is, it's a curriculum, the 2-hour class that's made for adults to teach adults how to recognize and respond and even react responsibly if somebody tells you that they are being abused. And so it's just centered around sexual abuse instead of all, you know, not, it's not an overall abuse thing, but we're teaching adults. And I just thought, when I saw that curriculum and I decided I wanted to be a part of it, and I had to go out of state to go get my license, but I just thought, that makes so much sense. That would be so helpful if I would have had these tools. If somebody would have said to me, okay, here's 5 steps, and, you know, basically just try and follow these 5 steps, it would have made my life so much easier, because I know that there were times that I was more of a helicopter mom because I just wanted to make sure that they were safe. And I wanted to be everywhere they were.
Yeah.
And I have three of them. You know, I have 3 of them that were, my first 2 were 7.5 years apart. And so, my youngest one is 11 years younger than my first one. And so he was just starting kindergarten when she was going off to college. And, you know, it was an interesting dynamic. It was a fun dynamic at the time. But, just to give them, like, those body safety tools, because I never got that, and I didn't necessarily know that there were, you know, and so it's a phenomenal program. Yeah, when we get a chance to chat, then I'll tell you a little bit more about that, too.
Yeah, so, I'd love to hear about it,
So tell everybody, I know that you did a little bit of how we can get a hold of you, but tell us all of your social media handles so that we know how to get a hold of you.
Okay. So I am Tawny Lee, TONNILEA. I am on Facebook. I am on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. I have my own TV show, which is Tawny Lee TV, which is on the Traverse app, which is on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, and Amazon TV. And my website is TawnyLee.com. And my second one is TawnyLeeBooks.com. I have HealingHeartsCoaching.info and TawnyLeeTV.info.
Cool.
A lot of places, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, I look forward to getting to know you more, and you are definitely a part of the NASCA family. So we would love to have you back anytime you want to come on and be a part
Absolutely.
Of the channel, you know, like Lori did, and I think she had to pop off here. But, you know, and then if you usually about a year or so, if you want to come back and tell your story again, we'd love to have you do that. So just stick around and be a part of the NASCA family.
Yeah, I would love to. So,
well, thank you so much.
When we get done then too, and I will just give both of you ladies my phone number and you can just get in touch with me.
Yeah. Well, we probably won't have time on the show, but so we're going to have to connect again. I will send you a Facebook request right now.
Okay.
I usually get around there, and then we will connect again at some other time. So I just love your heart, and thank you so much for everything that you've shared tonight and being so open. I know sometimes it can bring up some triggers and stuff too. So just thank you, and take care of yourself.
Just so you know, too, I friended you on Facebook or requested to friend
girls.
You on Facebook. Victoria Kelly. Uh-huh.
Well, we will stay in touch. Well, thank you
Definitely.
Both so very much for
thank
your
you
encouragement. And thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's been our pleasure to have you on. And there's going to be, you know, people that will probably be listening to this, you know, from now on. So if you would like to share it with Buddy, Tawny Lee, then you can, you know, just let people know. They can go on to the NASCA.org website, and then your scan number is going to be 3041 this evening. So I believe it should be posted pretty quickly after we get off, but I would give it, you know, probably until tomorrow just to make sure that it's on there, and you can just go on to NASCA.org and look at it.
Okay.
And find all the other ones.
Let me know when it's up.
Yeah. And of course it'll be up. It'll be announced on the NASCA Facebook page and all that too. So he's great about that. So have you met Bill? Have you spoken with him?
Just from LinkedIn is all. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's a great guy. We've been very grateful to him for getting all of this started. And I just told him the other night when he was on with me, I said, it's nice to see that you are letting other people, you know, give you help, because he did this show for so long by himself, and him and Carol. And then and they started opening up this last couple years or so and having other people come on. So, yeah. So if you're ever interested in that, too, if you ever want to get on the show and talk, we always could use facilitators for that, too. So.
Yeah.
I'll plug that in a little bit too. But so as I always say, there are enough people, and actually I don't say this, Penelope says this, but we have taken it from Penelope, she's one of our other hosts, that there are enough adults in this world that we can be watching out for all children. So please, if
Amen.
You see something, please say something. Thank you again,
Amen.
Victoria, for being the co-host this evening, and thank you so much, Tawny Lee. It was just our pleasure having you on. You have a great evening.
Yeah, thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.
You too. You too, Victoria. All right, goodbye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was